Listening to the Nancy Skinner Show. The Tom Hartman Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. It appears Americans' choices for news and information are likely to be reduced very soon, with the FCC poised to relax today decades-old rules governing restrictions on owning multiple television stations or a combination of broadcast outlets and newspapers within a single market. Appearing on ABC's This Week yesterday, Federal Communications Commission Chairman Michael Powell explained the main reason for the rules change is simply money.
Consumers have so much more choices that it's very difficult to command a significant number of them at a given time, which is critical to the advertising model. So what a lot of media outlets want to do is have slightly more capacity so that they can reach more viewers.
Powell denied the allegations, but Arizona Republican Senator John McCain insisted what he calls, quote, continued consolidation within the media could eventually work to deprive consumers of the news and information that they need. The first court appearance for accused serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph is wrapped up in Asheville, North Carolina. The latest on the story from correspondent Don Dornberg.
Dressed in orange-reddish jail garb, Eric Robert Rudolph sat quietly as the 21-count indictment against him was read. His attorney, Sean Devereaux, said that Rudolph will not fight extradition to Birmingham, where he faced charges first in bombing an abortion clinic in Birmingham that killed an off-duty police officer. Federal Judge Lacey Thornburg advised Rudolph of his rights, and when asked if he understood, Rudolph quietly said, "Yes, Your Honor." Although Birmingham is the first stop for Rudolph's trial, he will additionally face charges in Atlanta, where he's accused of three bombings, including the 1996 bombing at Centennial Olympic Park that killed a woman and injured over 100 people. Reporting from Asheville, North Carolina, I'm Don Dornberg.
World leaders meeting in France showing renewed cooperation today following a split over the war in Iraq. Today's meetings at the Group of Eight summit, though, failed to produce any real progress on stalled world trade talks or the rapid slide of the U.S. dollar. President Bush has already left the G8 meeting a day early. He's heading to the Middle East for talks with the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A senior Senate Republican says there will be a thorough investigation into if the Bush administration deliberately exaggerated the threat posed by Iraqi chemical and nuclear weapons. Virginia Senator John Warner told CNN's Late Edition, quote, "This is one senator who holds people accountable when they have strayed from what is right." Sensors, meanwhile, are going up around the nation's capital designed to detect the airborne fallout from a possible major terrorist attack. The Washington Post says a series of 30-foot aluminum towers have now been installed on top of government buildings in Washington, as well as nearby suburbs of Arlington and Silver Spring.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The gates of the Three Gorges Dam have now succeeded in blocking the powerful Yangtze River in central China. It took 10 years to construct the massive dam, as well as move hundreds of thousands of people from their homes. And as Far East correspondent Celia Hatton reports from Beijing, controversy continues over the environmental and social fallout from the world's largest hydroelectric project.
The Three Gorges Dam has blocked the famous Yangtze River, starting a two-week process that will create a 600-kilometer-wide reservoir. China's leaders maintain that the $22 billion dam will power the mainland's booming economy with cheap and clean energy, while also helping to control flooding on the Yangtze River. However, critics charge that the dam will lead to environmental disaster, arguing that garbage and industrial waste from flooded communities will contaminate the drinking water of millions of people. Social critics also worry over the fate of almost 1 million people who have been relocated to make room for the reservoir, many of whom are now unemployed. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclists, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome to our program today on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite and streaming live around the world on the Internet from www.ieamericaradio.com and radiopower.org. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Are the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America is our question for this day. Got some interesting thoughts on this and quite a bit of really fascinating information. Our chat room is open. We're going to try something different today. Last week we were using a chat room on CompuServe, but a few people said that they couldn't get into it. You've got to build a membership out of the CompuServe database and all this stuff. And even though it should be no charge at all to get into it, a couple of folks were having a challenge with that. So we're going to try a chat room that's off the IE America radio website. I'm not sure how resilient it'll be. It's already crashed once this morning, but we'll try it out. If you go to tomhartman.com and click on the radio show link and then click on the chat room link, it'll take you right there. Or you can go to ieamericaradio.com and click on Listen Live, and you'll see the word chat up at the top, and you click on that chat link, and it'll get you there. So, welcome to the program. Our quote today is from John F. Kennedy. He said, "The problems of the world cannot possibly be solved by skeptics or cynics whose horizons are limited by the obvious realities. We need men who can dream of things that never were." I think it's a remarkable quote. We really must consider our vision for the future of America. And that's one of the main issues that I want to talk about today is what is the vision for the future of America? And in the first hour, we're going to look at perhaps what the conservative vision is. In the second hour, we're going to talk about what perhaps should the Democratic vision be, the vision of the Democratic Party, the party that the Republicans call the Democrat Party, ever since Newt said we shouldn't call it Democratic because that makes it sound good. Got an email here from Karen. She says, "Isn't it important for the laws of government to protect its citizens from the rotten parts of itself? There are so many apathetic citizens caught up in the reverie of popularity and not the facts behind what is going on. The government In fact, the fact the government is passing a bill that allows them to access and use our personal information at will is scary. Also, what is with this sudden swing of popular opinion to squelch free speech under the auspices of free speech? Also, I think it's dangerous and ironic that the government is aligning itself with the religious right. There's a lot of blind faith in religion, and now we see blind faith in government, too. Wake up, America, says Karen. Thank you for that comment, Karen. The broader question, are the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America? The shadow truth that I'm talking about has to do with America's dependence on oil. There was a meeting last week in Paris that didn't get anywhere near the coverage that the G8 summit also in France is getting this week. It was a meeting of the French Institute for Petroleum, the IFP, and they conducted the first Association for the Study of Peak Oil meeting. Now, this may sound, you may think, oh, what, oil, you know, association meetings, that sounds didactic. No, 200 people from 20 countries showed up at this thing. It was partly subsidized by the French Institute for Petroleum, Schlumberger, and the French giant oil company Total, I think is the French way of saying it. And the chairman of the IFP, Olivier Appert, pointed out that world oil depletion is now occurring at the rate of 5 to 10% per year. Back in the 1950s, there was an oil scientist by the name of King Hubbert, who is now dead, but he came up with this thing called the Hubbert Peak, and he predicted for the United States that it would happen in the early 1970s, 73 or 74, and that for the world it would happen around 2000. And the Hubbert Peak is the point at which oil wells max out. When you've consumed 50% of the oil in an oil well, then after that point, the oil starts getting more and more expensive to pump out because you've got to suck it up out of the well. Really profitable oil wells, like the Iraqi oil wells, which are relatively new and unpumped, actually bubble right out of the ground. There are no pumps in Iraq because the oil is so relatively untapped, untouched, that the pressure of the oil itself bubbles it out of the ground. They just have giant pipes that go down to the port where they load it onto ships and into the refineries. But it's being pumped under its own pressure. That will only last for a certain period of time, and then they'll have to start sucking it out. While it's pumping under its own pressure, it only costs about $1.50 a barrel to pump this stuff out, and you can sell it on the spot market for $20 to $30 a barrel, depending on what oil is selling for on that particular day. Whereas Saudi oil, which has been pumped aggressively for the last 20 or 30 years, now is getting more and more expensive to pump. American oil, we have wiped out our oil fields in the East Coast. You know, Pennzoil was Pennsylvania oil. It is no longer. There is no more oil in Pennsylvania. Then there was New York State oil and New Jersey oil and Ohio oil and Michigan oil and Indiana oil, and all of that oil is gone. And then Oklahoma and Texas oil, and those oil fields are getting low. Alaskan oil, they're not pumping much oil out of Alaska now. Most of those wells have dried out. In fact, Alaska is no longer passing out oil revenues to its citizens and subsidizing them anymore, which is one of the reasons that the Alaskan politicians want to open up the Anwar wildlife refuge for drilling, because it was such a political honeypot. I mean, it was just, you know, free cash that they could pass out to anybody. And they passed it out to their citizens, and they avoided sales tax and income tax and all kinds of things for a long time with that oil money. But it has come to an end. And the oil wells in California are low, and they've got a pump, and it's sucking on the straw there at the very last of it. So this conference was to look at this situation, and in part, one of the things that kept being brought up was the Cheney Energy Plan and how it's affecting American foreign policy. What is going on with American foreign policy as it relates to oil? Could this be the shadow truth about America? You know, today is day 75 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 75 today. Now, if you were Saddam Hussein, as William Raspberry pointed out in a column last week, if you were Saddam Hussein and you were looking at the potential annihilation of your country and you had to get out fast and all that. Which would you spend your time hiding? Your gold and cash or your weapons of mass destruction? We have found over $1 billion worth of Saddam's gold and over $1 billion worth of his cash. Probably most all of it that was left in the country. And it was really well hidden, much of it. And some of it was aggressively and actively in the process of being smuggled out of the country or already out of the country. We have found that in the 75 days that we've been searching and scouring this country. And I would think that he would have put much more effort into hiding that than weapons of mass destruction. Could it be that the United Nations weapons inspectors, who had spent years in that country and aggressively scrubbed it and searched it from one end to the other, were right? If so, what does this tell us about American foreign policy? Why did we do this? What if what's really going on is that the Bush-Cheney administration, this administration of oil people, Condoleezza Rice had an oil tanker named after her, used to work for Exxon. Bush, of course, was an oil man, Cheney, oil. What if they looked at the situation, the reality of the world, and said, you know, the world is running out of oil. There's difficult times coming. The United States is importing about half of our oil, and by 2020 we're going to have to import 90% of our oil because we are just about out. And whoever is president, when that Hubbert peak arrives, when oil starts getting much more expensive, is going to be presiding over a disaster if this country is still dependent upon oil, because it's everything is driven by oil, all of our systems, all of our economy, all of everything. And so what if they sat around and they said, you know, we have this situation where the country is dependent on oil. We can do two things, one of two things. We can either choose to make the country independent of oil, which is the path that Jimmy Carter chose. And, of course, Ronald Reagan, who was strongly supported by the oil industry in his bid to unseat Carter, his first the first official act of office of the Reagan-Bush administration was to remove the solar collectors from the roof of the White House that Jimmy Carter had put there. So that's one option, to make the country less dependent upon oil. And Reagan canceled the tax credits and things that people got for making their homes more energy efficient, and the subsidy programs to companies to develop new sources of energy and all that sort of thing. Reagan just did away with all that stuff. So should we go back to what Carter was doing, or should we say to our good buddies in the oil industry, we're going to make you as much money as possible in these last hours of oil. And we're going to scour the world to get all the oil because that transition is going to be disruptive. It's going to be difficult. And we are not going to allow that to happen on our watch. We will set it up so that it's going to happen on somebody else's watch. We will leave that problem to the next generation. For us, eat, drink, and be merry. And so, believing perhaps, honestly, that this was the best thing to do for the security and future of the United States, because the non-oil technologies, you could argue, are not well developed. I mean, they're there, but they're not yet fully viable. We couldn't go from oil to no oil in a year now. There's no possible way we could do it. At the very least, it would be a 20-year project. So they just said, you know, it's the best thing for the American empire, for the American future, is to simply grab all the oil we can. And Cheney, of course, had been in, and Rumsfeld had both been involved in negotiations to put this pipeline across Afghanistan, and there's all that oil in Iraq. Could that be something, you know, the shadow side of this, the shadow truth? Could it be that they really felt that they had to deceive us for our own good, in order to keep the country together and keep things going and keep America strong? Could it be? At this meeting in France last week, this is I'm reading from a report by Michael C. Ruppert, publishes a newsletter called From the Wilderness. We'll get back to it in some detail right after this break. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
It's talk radio for the rest of us. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Peak oil is here now. According to the BBC, a documentary that they did on March 26th of this year, titled The War for Oil, which was not about the war in Iraq. It's simply called the War for Oil. They cited declining production, vanishing discovery rates, smaller field sizes, and increasing demand. They suggested that by 2020, the U.S. would be importing 70% of our oil and 90% by 2050. And they had on Matthew Simmons, who was an advisor to the Bush administration, one of the people who actually sat in on this top-secret meeting that Dick Cheney had when he was putting together the National Energy Policy for the United States. It was called the National Energy Policy Development Group, NEPDG, back in 2001. This is the group that they refused to release their records. They're being sued over this. Matthew Simmons was a member of this, and he delivered one of the strongest and clearest warnings about peak oil at this conference in France last week that was reported by Michael Ruppert in From the Wilderness, the From the Wilderness newsletter, which you can find easily on the Internet. And Simmons pointed out, quoting Ruppert, Simmons pointed out that 5/6 of the world barely uses any energy, but that this is where the demand is growing the fastest. For example, auto sales in China jumped 50% in 2002 alone. Natural gas, he points out, is a problem area. In 1990, there was large growth in natural gas production in the U.S. By 2001, with record drilling, there was no increase in supply. And by 2003, production was in serious decline. Are the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America? Is the war agenda, with or without weapons of mass destruction, really about oil? And if so, is it a good thing or a dangerous thing for the United States? If you'd like to let us know your thoughts on this, you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. New Texas gas wells declined by 83% 1 year after drilling, according to Simmons, the advisor to the Cheney folks. Ruppert goes on to say, on the terrorists, I don't know if you can draw any parallels on why does it seem that every place we have energy, we also... Oh, this is Simmons. He was doing an interview with Ruppert. This is the guy who helped draw up the Cheney energy plan that is defining the future course of the United States. He says, I don't know if you can draw any parallels on why does it seem that every place we have energy, we also have terrorism, other than just musing about the fact that over the last 20 years, while we have apparently benefited from these unbelievably low bargain oil prices, the prices were so low that none of the host nations were able to basically create any semblance of a modern society. And over a 20-year period of time, all of their populations exploded. They all have high birth rate, very young people, and terrible economies. Unfortunately, we ended up with an oil price that was so low that it was hard for them to maintain a healthy infrastructure, and there was nothing left over to start rebuilding their societies. He goes on to say the U.S. has some unbelievable energy problems. The National Iranian Oil Company has an executive by the name of Ali Sassam Bakhtari, who talked about the oil depletion in Iran at this conference last week in Paris. He said, and I quote, Saudi Arabia has already produced 100 billion barrels of oil out of an ultimately recoverable reserves of 260 billion. It may have less oil and may have passed the midpoint in production, which means decline. I'm sorry, he was talking, yeah, Saudi Arabia's oil. And he says Iran is also in decline. Iraq, however, is not in decline. Iraq's oil has pretty much not been tapped for all practical purposes. People say, well, what about deep water oil? What about drilling in the oceans? They suggest at this conference that the entire world's deep water supply would represent 5% of the world's supply by 2020. The world is currently consuming 1 billion barrels of oil every 12 days, and there's only 5 billion barrels out there under the sea. Here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stick around. We'll return in just a few minutes as we're talking about the shadow truth about America's foreign policy. Mm-hmm.
Now at Radio Shack, make Dad's day with the Dish Network satellite system and get 3 free months of the America's Top 100 Value Pack with HBO and Cinemax when you sign up for a year. Plus, get $25 back by mail from HBO. That's right, 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax and $25 back. That's over $170 value. Dish Network satellite TV for Father's Day at Radio Shack. Not available everywhere for new first-time residential customers through 730-103 with free dish offer and credit approval. Free dish after $49.99 bill credit. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. Fees and restrictions apply. Hardware and programming sold separately. Details in store.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Flight attendants with Southwest Airlines began demonstrations at airports in Texas last week as contract talks turned to issues of pay.
We're just out at the airport doing a friendly demonstration. We have been in contract negotiations for over a year, and we're trying to negotiate a contract that will enable our Southwest Airlines flight attendants to continue providing the excellent customer service that they have for 33 years.
Tom McDaniel of Transport Workers Union Local 556 says Southwest flight attendants should be paid for all the time they spend on the job rather than simply time spent in the air.
We spend several hours a day working, turning the airplanes and cleaning the airplanes, for which we're not paid for.
McDaniel says the transport workers hope to resolve economic issues in the next 60 days. Median pay for Southwest flight attendants is less than $25,000 a year, a rate 20% below the industry average, making Southwest's flight attendants among the lowest paid in the U.S. airline industry.
A new report from a Delhi-based labor rights group says India's tea industry is in a state of near collapse. Faced with increased exports from Indonesia and Vietnam, which has depressed the global market price of tea by nearly one-third over the last 5 years, tea plantations in India have slowly been failing. Now the Center for Education and Communication reports that since the price of tea began falling, more than 60,000 people have been thrown out of work, and workers on at least 9 plantations haven't been paid since October of 2000. As a result, some plantations are being looted as workers divide up this year's crops among themselves as payment. The average daily wage for Indian tea plantation hands is about $1.60. The CEC says if the tea industry would first guarantee the basic living needs of plantation workers, it would go a long way to both increasing production and improving the quality of the crops.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Princeton professor Kenneth Defies was speaking at the conference in Paris last week about oil and future world oil supplies, and he suggested that the Hubbert peak, the 50% point for the world's oil supply, actually arrived in 2000, that it happened 3 years ago. And as predicted by King Hubbert back in the 1950s, He said, as a result of this, there's been a 30% drop in stock value. Interest rates have not helped. 2 million have become unemployed. The employed have been unable to retire. Budget surpluses have vanished. The middle class has vanished. And the World Trade Center has vanished. He added that the only way to meet the delusional USGS oil discovery predictions for the United States would be to make Iraq the 51st state. Maybe that's what's in store. The Cheney Report, Chapter 8, suggests that U.S. demand will increase 7.7 million barrels per day between now and 2020, and that all, quote, all of that increase would necessarily come from the Middle East, end quote. Our question for the hour, are the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America, or should we be looking at the alternatives that Jimmy Carter first brought to our attention, that it's time to wean ourselves off dependence from oil? If you'd like to call, the number's 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 to be on the Tom Hartman program. And Lillian in Anniston, Alabama is on the line. Welcome to the program, Lillian.
How are you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
I'm doing great. You know, thank you for letting me talk, because I have a few things to answer your question. Carter was right. We need another source of energy, real, and we're in a, this is starting causing a war. It's outrageous. And you'll be surprised what you can do. See, every action has a reaction, and I feel much better. I have cut down, like for 10 years, I have not used oil, heat, since I've was from the north, and my mother, she trained me. We only used heat in our rooms, the whole house. When we were in, in the house, we only heated the bedroom, and that's
I lived in Germany back in 1986 and 87, and that's how the average middle-class German actually lives.
Yes.
Every room has its own heat control, and you heat up the rooms you're going to be in, and you leave them turned off the rest of the time, and they've got a very cold climate there.
You'd be surprised what you can do.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what you can do when this is an emergency, and we have to I feel much better. I have boycotted the gas company. The only thing I use, what I have to use, I don't use any heat, and I don't use any air conditioning. I just have this fan on me, and I stopped using that because I just got angry with my bill. My bill was just too much, and they're not going about how much you use. They charge you how much they can get away with charging you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not calculated about how much gas you're using, the meter. I don't really think they paid that any attention.
Well, it's a monopoly, and supply and demand kind of go out the window when you have a monopoly.
Yes, they just treat you the way they think that, you know, they can get away with treating you. And I have, you know, that's my way of going to war with the system, the corrupt system. If they're going to be so corrupt, I can be frugal, and I can, you know, I can restrain myself and not make sure. I don't have no, only time I have a light on or my computer on, but if I don't need to see, I use let the light from the outside.
Good
sun
on you, Lillian.
That's
the kind of stuff that's going to help rebuild America.
You'd be surprised at how much. You know, my bill for a light was only $10, and that means I don't use any lights at all.
Hey, that's great. That's great. I think we're facing a crisis that is every bit as real and pressing as World War II, and that those kinds of interventions are necessary, but we're ignoring it. They're going to become necessary involuntarily.
I see when I go to my sister's house, you know, they'll keep a light on, and I'm off automatically trying to cut it off, but it's a lifestyle. If you pay attention to what you don't really need, you know, we take everything for granted. But got to this. This is a life or death situation.
I agree. I'm absolutely there with you.
Okay,
thank you very much
all
for
I
calling.
Have to say.
Great, thanks. I appreciate your sharing your thoughts with us, Lillian. You're part of the solution, not part of the problem. And that's the hope in this, is that there is a solution. In fact, there are numerous solutions. There are a lot of people writing about them and talking about them. People have been dealing with this issue and talking about this issue for a long time. But I mean, clear back to the 30s, people have been talking about how important it is that the United States become self-reliant. And yet, for this administration, it doesn't seem to be a priority. Rather, it is, let's get the oil so that we can just continue. You know, it's sort of like the alcoholic who says, well, I'm just a social drinker. Are the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America? That would be a shadow truth about the alcoholic. Are we addicted to foreign oil? And instead of trying to break the addiction, instead of trying to go cold turkey, are we instead doing what addicts do, that is, taking all necessary steps to keep access to the substance to which we're addicted, to increasingly larger and larger supplies of it? Jeff in Denver has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Jeff.
I see in our world is that we... Hello?
Hey, welcome.
Okay. Yeah, I think one of the strangest things I see in our world is that we have the lights on in the daytime. The sun provides so much, such incredible light that we're always blocking it out. Why do we turn on lights in the daytime? Why aren't houses, every building, built to take advantage of that simple thing?
Well, they are in Europe like crazy. I mean, of course, in Europe, oil costs about four times what it costs here because it's so heavily taxed by the government. And there are also, in most European countries, strong tax incentives to design energy-efficient buildings, to reduce the consumption of power in buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these awards and things. We're just not doing that here. We're just kind of ignoring
it's
not a problem.
Yeah, well, it's so bizarre. And just in general, the thing is, like with solar energy, we're talking about not being here, yet we're fighting it every day.
Yeah.
Where you have air conditioners on, we close our shades to keep the brightness out.
Fighting
right
solar energy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There have been a number of studies done over the years indicating that the southern United States, that part of the United States below the Mason-Dixon line, easily has enough power from the sun to meet our needs if we were to continue a pretty much the same lifestyle, although we may have to consolidate our transportation. Thank you very much, Jeff, for your comments. I appreciate them. Thanks for calling the program. One of the people in our chat room, if you want to get in the chat room, by the way, just go to tomhartman.com and click on the radio show link and then click on the word chat on the navigation bar on the left. It'll take you into the IE America Radio Network chat room. And one of the folks there had asked the question, how is the use of oil split out in the United States? And my understanding is that about half of the oil that we use in the United States we use for transportation, which is one of the reasons why they say that, for example, if we just increased our fleet mileage by 3 miles per gallon, that is the average gas mileage that cars get, it would save more energy in a year than exists in all of Alaska. Those kinds of situations. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number to be on the program, 1-800-825-5937. And Kay in Santa Fe, New Mexico has a comment. Welcome, Kay.
I would like to compare the current pending oil crisis with a warning that chemists and biologists were giving to the medical profession 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They cautioned about the overuse of antibiotics by the medical profession and the pharmaceutical companies.
And
no
the
one
veterinary
heeded
profession.
The warning. So now we have organisms that are resistant to the antibiotics that we're producing.
Yes.
And that crisis will really get worse very soon, and we are ignoring similar warnings from the environmentalists, the geologists, et cetera, about the oil crisis.
Yeah, now, I agree.
It seems to me that what we have here is a conflict between capitalism and reality. Capitalism is in the paradigm that demands ever-increasing profits for the corporations, for the companies. This is antithetical to the reality of science. And
mm-hmm.
we ignore the laws of science to our peril. And that's
what we have been doing
for about the past 50 years.
I absolutely agree. One of the parallels that I made in a book I wrote called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight about the end of the era of oil is that growth as the primary resource in biology, when you have a component in a complex organism that has as its single value growth or profit, that's called cancer. And that businesses and corporations have a rightful place in America, and profit can be a noble thing. But when it trumps other values like democracy or a free and a clean environment or pure air or decent food, then it has become a social or political cancer, in my opinion. Kay, thank you very much for your comments. I very much appreciate your calling the show. Also, one of the things that I would point out to you is that your analogy with the antibiotics is spot on. 50%, more than 50% of all antibiotics used in the United States, manufactured in the United States, are used in the routine production of food animals. And this actually is now, many people are believing that this is the biggest, you know, area where we're seeing these organisms emerging, these resistant organisms. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Is the U.S., are the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America, or are they, have they gone off on a direction that is ultimately going to be destructive to the United States? At one point, this is from U.S. News and World Report, at one point during the rehearsal, this is Colin Powell rehearsing his speech before the United Nations, where he said, all these weapons of mass destruction are in Iraq. Because they, you know, as Wolfowitz said in Vanity Fair, they had to come up with a justification for the invasion to get the oil. And I quote from U.S. News and World Report, at one point during the rehearsal, Powell tossed several pages in the air. I'm not reading this, he declared. This is bull, fill in the blank. And so now the Senate has two different committees that want to look into whether American intelligence agencies lied to the president or whether the president got accurate intelligence information and lied to you and I. What's going on? Phil in Florida has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Phil.
Yeah, hi. You know, all this talk about conserving energy and everything, it sounds really nice. But you have to appreciate the fact that the American public has bought the chocolate ice cream diet over and over and over and over again. Eat all the chocolate ice cream you want and lose weight.
Right.
And that's what conservatives are saying. You can have all, you can be as piggish about the oil. Don't worry about it. We'll find more. And if we run out of it, then we'll blame the liberals because they didn't let us drill enough in Anwar and other places.
Right. And that philosophy spreads all across. I mean, you know, like the tax cuts. We just ran up $1 trillion worth of debt, which we're going to be paying $100 billion a year in interest on in order to fund a tax cut. It's like, here, we'll give you some tax money. We're going to borrow it from our children.
For sure. But the point is, it still appeals. Do you remember some years back the woman in Beverly Hills at the pineapple diet where all you did is ate pineapple for 3 weeks? Remember that?
Millions. I must have been
people
out of the
country. People were stupid enough to believe that.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I think if you eat any kind of fruit and nothing else for 3 weeks, you'll lose weight. I mean,
The point is this, that unfortunately, people, the conservatives know that, you know, they can't go wrong in telling people what they want to hear.
Yeah.
That there is no way, you don't need to sacrifice. We can have guns, we can have butter, and we can have champagne too. No problem.
Right, Phil. Yeah, and this is not a traditional conservative value, by the way, and it's not a liberal value. This is just brazen political opportunism, in my opinion. We have in our chat room, Timber Monkey says we are Hummer Nation, and Chat for Peace says you are what you own. Good points, Phil. Phil, thank you very much for calling the program. I appreciate your comments. Jeff in Dallas, Texas, has called 1-800-TALK-YES.
Well, hi, 1-800- Tom. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm great. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you. You know what? We've been calling this on the air lately.
Oh, this is Jeff with RadioLeft.com.
That's right.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You've been calling it?
We're going to be working on a website to this effect, and we're just now setting it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it the Survival of the Richest.
Right.
Or economic Darwinism.
Well, you know, Darwin was heavily influenced by the theories of his cousin, Sir Francis Galton, who was suggesting that Victorian economics, I mean, the Victorian-era economics and Victorian-era Darwinism fed each other. The idea that that the survival of the fittest, which was a phrase that Darwin actually only used twice in The Origin of Species, whereas he used the word compassion over 90 times. But nonetheless, the idea that survival of the fittest was a good thing and was actually how nature worked, it turns out that it's not how nature works. Nature works on the basis of survival of those who cooperate. If one organ of your body decides to take over your body, you die. In all species, it's survival by cooperation. But anyway, it worked in Victorian England, or it seemed to work. It justified the exploitation. I mean, during the potato famine in the 1840s, Ireland was exporting wheat to England while people were starving, because in Ireland only the Irish were only allowed to eat potatoes, even though their country was growing more than enough food to feed all of them. 1 million people died of starvation as a consequence of that economic Darwinism. Pardon the rant, Jeff, but you still there?
What's going on? The Republican mission of George Bush.
Yeah.
As essentially turning us all into serfs on corporate plantations.
Yes, it's the
and I know that's a mixed metaphor.
Feudalism. Yeah. It's a new feudalism, and in fact, we're going to talk about that in our second hour today. How should the Democrats respond to this?
Well, let me ask you a question about that, because
sure.
George Bush and the Republicans in Congress have just okayed the research, the R&D for these tactical nuclear weapons, and the only reason they didn't authorize the development of them was because the Democrats would have raised too much hell.
Yeah.
And why aren't we saying, who cares about the economy? They're going to blow up the planet.
Yeah. It's a good point, Jeff. We're out of time on the segment. Stay with the Tom, and Jeff, thank you very much for calling from Dallas. I appreciate it. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. As Mac in Santa Fe reminds us, if you're not registered to vote, get out there and register. And don't forget to vote when the time comes. In our chat room, Matt says, Tom, speaking of peak oil and the soon-to-be unavoidable oil disasters, where are our leaders? Those who we elect and entrust with our well-being. I'm not naive. They're out grabbing as much of what is soon to be left for themselves and their descendants. And even if the government were to stand up and lay out a viable plan of energy independence and conservation, would the bloated American public have the intelligence and concerned compassion to actually be able to make the necessary sacrifice in our selfish standard of living? Well, Matt, actually, I think so. To be on the program, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Rob from Des Moines, Iowa, has called in the last few minutes of this segment. Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you very much. I just started listening. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
One thing that's I've noticed that's been kind of overlooked is, but I think it's important to bring to the conversation, is the conservative Christian aspect with the whole oil issue, because to a certain degree they're kind of in a win-win situation. The first
How's
aspect
that?
Is if you know, coming the, a lot of these conservative Christians do not believe in evolution, they do not believe that the Earth is millions of years old, and they are under the impression that God will provide. You know, there will always be more oil because God will just make more of it.
Right.
You know, it's like how oil comes about does not come about as a part of millions of years of things going on under the earth, but just God.
Do you really think that there's a lot? You know, yeah, Rob. Do you really think that there's a lot of people who believe that? I mean, the oil wells.
I don't think that there are, but I think that there are pockets of people that accept that. The other side of that coin is that if by running out of oil, it actually is one of those things that is will help bring about the end of the earth and therefore the second coming.
The Armageddonists, those who the best selling books, you know, in the United States right now are the books the second coming books. Good point, Rob. Thank you very much for calling from Des Moines. I appreciate the call on the show. The issue from this last hour, the conservatives speaking a shadow truth about America. I think perhaps they are. Thank you for joining us in this hour. Stick around. We'll be right back after the news. This is the Tom Hartman Program, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle.
Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the side.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A split Federal Communications Commission has now approved relaxing media ownership rules. On a 3-2 vote today, the FCC removed most restrictions on multiple ownership of newspapers, radio, and TV stations in large cities. Commissioners split along party lines. Three Republicans were in favor of the deregulation. Two Democrats opposed it. FCC Chairman Michael Powell yesterday told ABC's This Week the changes are really aimed at helping the industry.
In 1996, Congress recognized that radio was a dying industry. A lot of the consolidation actually preserved and continued viable outlets in America. I do think that there are problems in radio. That's one of the rules we're looking at strengthening as opposed to liberalizing.
But Powell also said one of the overriding goals is to help corporate media make more money.
Consumers have so much more choices that it's very difficult to command a significant number of them at a given time, which is critical to the advertising model. So what a lot of media outlets want to do is have slightly more capacity so that they can reach more viewers.
FCC Media Bureau Chief Kenneth Faree called current rules rusty and outdated and argued, quote, broadcast ownership rules continue to reflect a bygone era. Opponents warn the rule changes could lead to further consolidation of media giants, putting a handful of people in charge of what millions see, hear, and read. Commissioner Michael Copps said the action, quote, empowers America's new media elite with unacceptable levels of influence. Accused serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph will soon be on his way to Birmingham, Alabama for the first of his two trials. More from correspondent Don Dornberg.
In a hearing this morning in federal court in Asheville, North Carolina, Eric Robert Rudolph said he would not fight extradition. Bob Conrad, the prosecutor for Western North Carolina, says Rudolph will be transported to Birmingham.
For security reasons, we cannot provide you with any more information as to when or how that compliance will occur.
Rudolph spoke only briefly, saying yes, Your Honor, when he was asked by the judge if he understood the charges and his rights. Reporting from Asheville, North Carolina, I'm Don Dornberg.
After his first trial, Rudolph will be taken to Atlanta to face charges in three bombings, including the 1996 Centennial Olympic Park bombing.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me.
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
President Bush has left the G8 summit in France, headed for the Middle East. While there, the president will meet with Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers to discuss his so-called roadmap for peace. Earlier in France, both Mr. Bush and French President Jacques Chirac appeared to set aside their differences over the Iraq war. They held a joint news conference today in Evian, France. More than a half dozen U.S. soldiers and civilians are unaccounted for still in the Persian Gulf after the two small boats they were traveling in went missing. Navy officials with the 5th
James Carver here to talk to you about something that's finer than frog hair, something that really puts the pepper in the gumbo. I'm talking about info. People, a new telephone service that takes 411 and adds a whole lot of giddy-up. Just call 888-411-1111 and you get an operator who will fetch your phone numbers, movie times, driving directions, restaurant reservations. How does that grab you, fella? Let me say that number once more, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Lawyers representing the teenaged D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Malvo today are asking a Virginia judge to change the venue of the trial. More on the story from correspondent Allison Brown.
18-year-old Lee Wood Malvo's attorneys say publicity involving the sniper shootings, investigation, arrest, and alleged leaks mean their client will not get a fair trial. Prosecutors, though, say they will be able to seat a fair jury at Malvo's November 10th proceeding. Malvo faces capital murder charges in the fatal shooting of FBI analyst Linda Franklin last October. Malvo's trial is expected to last anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks. Allison Brown, Fairfax, Virginia.
And the Air Force is reportedly today starting to check into the possibility nuclear waste could be buried beneath more than 80 former and still current air bases around the country. The Wall Street Journal says many of the sites in question have now been approved for public use. In response to questions from the newspaper, though, the Air Force says those sites will not pose a health risk if they remain undisturbed. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program. Speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from the West Coast to the East Coast, from sea to shining sea, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Program. We're also rebroadcast on radiopower.org on the web, where we don't get our talking points from right-wing think tanks or the RNC, except when we do, to point out what they're up to. It's interesting times. In this hour, we want to ask the question, should the Democratic Party's 2004 platform be a new declaration of independence? This is one close to my heart. I have had a great fondness for Thomas Jefferson's writings my entire life, And the Declaration of Independence is something that he borrowed parts of it from something that he had written 3 years earlier. That was a summary view of the rights of British Americans, in which he wasn't arguing for independence from England, but he was arguing for a more civil lifestyle, as it were. And what got me started on this, what got me thinking about this, was an email I got from Jamel. It doesn't say where he is. And he said, I was reading the Declaration of Independence, and I didn't realize how much our current government sounds like the King of England in those days. These people are destroying our country. If more people were informed about our laws, myself included, I had forgotten about the Declaration of Independence and what it means to us Americans, they would be calling for regime change here at home. I always enjoy your shows. I learn so much. And he had two great quotes on here. He says, this is from Patrick Kennedy. Quote, hasn't America seen enough of the exclusionary, prejudicial, vote-suppressing, racial profiling, ignoring city, inner-city, Confederate flag-waving, Bob Jones university-loving attitudes of the radical right? And a marvelous quote from Martin Luther King, in the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. A bit of a cautionary note. So Jamel brings up the Declaration of Independence. And I would like to share with you part of this because I think that this may be a document that the Democratic Party can use in 2004, and I'm going to give you specifics of how this could be done. And in fact, I think that some of the Democrats, specifically Howard Dean, are already doing this as a way to win the White House and perhaps back Congress and the Senate in 2004. If they can get their act together, of course. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, if we're going to declare war on somebody or separate ourselves from somebody, we have to have a good reason. So what is the reason? We hold these truths to be self-evident, wrote Thomas Jefferson, lightly edited by Ben Franklin and John Adams and John Jay, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Interestingly, later on, about 6 or 8 years after this, Jefferson wrote that the only purpose of good government, the only true purpose of good government, was to provide for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So that's a whole other topic that we can get into sometime. Back to the Declaration, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, this was the most radical idea in 7,000 years of what we call civilization. Prior to this time, with the singular exception of a little 200-plus-year period experiment in Greece, where they didn't actually vote for officials, they had a lottery in Greek democracy. Other than that, and there were a few other little blips here and there, a few other experiments with democracy, but none of the scale and scope of the United States of America. We came along, this nation came along, these people who wrote this document, and said, historically the world has been ruled by one of three groups. The what's called the civilized world has been ruled by one of three groups. Number one, kings and warlords, those who rule by virtue of their willingness to use violence. Number two, popes and theocrats, those who rule by virtue of their claim to divine knowledge or divine blessing. They say that they have the right to rule because God or the gods gave it to them. And number three, feudal lords, those who rule because they own the local land and all the wealth associated with it, including the people who live on it. These were the three historic tyrannies that the United States was created to overthrow: kings, popes, and feudal lords. And they said, we're going to try a fourth way. Looking back at the Greek experiment on the island of Athens that came to a screeching halt when Alexander the Great conquered them, a warlord. And looking at the way that the Iroquois Confederacy lived at peace, Ben Franklin got up during the Constitutional Convention in 1787, and he introduced 34 members of the Iroquois Confederacy who slept upstairs for 7 months while these folks were putting together the Constitution of the United States. He introduced them, and then he said to the assembled delegates, he said, if five nations of ignorant savages can form a bond that has appeared indissolvable for 1,000 years and they have been able to live in peace for that time, then certainly 13 colonies of educated Englishmen should be able to do the same. Now, setting aside the racism inherent in Franklin's worldview, nonetheless, the Iroquois were a great inspiration for the founders. So, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. They go on to say that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. There's that happiness word again. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, see, this is a very conservative document. Let's not make radical changes unless we absolutely... And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, once people are on this roller coaster, people will put up with an awful lot, the founders were saying. Our question for the hour, should the Democratic Party's 2004 platform be a new Declaration of Independence? They continue, the founders, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Attached to this then was a Bill of Particulars. From the Declaration of Independence to the war on Iraq, the policy of the United States government and of every civilized government in the world has been that you don't declare war on another country unless they attack you first. Hitler declared preemptive wars against Czechoslovakia, Austria, Poland, and on and on. And it began with Austria and then Czechoslovakia and then Poland. And when his men were tried at the War Crimes Tribunal, the crime for which many of them were tried was starting a war when their country had not been attacked by the country which they were attacking. And so the founders were very clear about this. This doctrine of preemptive war has only been tried in the last 200 years by any civilized nation by the Nazis. That's it. Although we have now adopted it as the official policy of the United States just in the last year. It's something that concerns me greatly and many other people. So, knowing that they couldn't have a policy of preemptive war, the founders had to establish the basis for their war, and they said, this was their Bill of Particulars that was attached to the Declaration of Independence. This is what King George was up to, that they said, this is enough to make us want to change our form of government. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil powers. For protecting armed troops by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these United States. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. For depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. another claim now that our government is making that they can hold you as long as they want without a trial. For transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretend offenses. Patriot 2 says that they can strip you of their citizenship and take you to Guantanamo Bay. For abolishing our most valuable laws and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms, and our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of the free people. So should the Democrats be picking up some of this language? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Tony in Washington, D.C., what are your thoughts on this?
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your insightful analysis that and hopefully enlightened the electorate towards the 2004 election and beyond.
Thank you, Tony.
I think we do need to have a new constitutional insight to distinguish between the Democrats and the Republicans. I think it's critical. My question, is to you and to the audience, is that are they in some kind of incubated status right now? Are they waiting
for... They being the Democrats?
Yeah. Waiting for that to come so they can come out with their, different side of the equation, though. But I think you have something that definitely needs to be pondered about.
Good question, Tony. That music means we're coming up against a break. If you want to hold on, I'll hang on the line here, and I'll take the rest of your call right after this break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Remember when George W. was campaigning and claiming, "I'm a uniter, not a divider"? Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. In one stroke, Bush has managed to do the impossible. Unite the American Conservative Union with the American Civil Liberties Union, as well as bringing other staunchly conservative groups together with avowedly liberal ones. Let's hear it for the great uniter. Unfortunately for George, what has united these disparate forces is their opposition to an absolutely atrocious piece of legislation that his administration had hoped to sneak by us. It's called Patriot Act 2, a nasty follow-up to the liberty-busting, democracy-stifling USA Patriot Act, which John Mad Dog Ashcroft rammed through a panicked Congress just days after the horrendous September 11th terrorist attacks. Patriot 2 would give us Ashcroft on Viagra. Ugly. Among other uglies, this act would increase federal power to make secret arrests of U.S. citizens, let the government search your telephone, bank, and credit records without court supervision, and, for the first time, authorize the Attorney General to strip any American of their citizenship. All that the government has to do is to declare, by executive whim, that a case involves suspicions of terrorism, and bammo, there go your most basic rights. Patriot 2 is so ugly that the Bushites even lied to Congress that it exists. Trying to cover his ample butt, Ashcroft still asserts that it's not really a legislative proposal, but merely some ideas bouncing around his Justice Department. However, an internal document titled Domestic Security Enhancement Act of 2003 has surfaced, and it looks, reads, and smells exactly like a legislative proposal. This is Jim Hightower saying, I'd trust a wolf to guard my last pork chop before I'd trust the Bushites to guard my liberties. To guard against their Patriot Act, too, call the American Civil Liberties Union, 212-549-2500.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Cooler Wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. It's the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We were talking with Tony in Washington, D.C. We also have Rob in Pennsylvania and Linda in California on the line. Tony, we're going to make one more point, I think, the commercial break caught us.
Yeah, thank you. I'll make it very quick. We have other people call. A better slogan would be a better deal. You're borrowing from Franklin Roosevelt, and also you trying to take away from the patriotic zeal that's been misdirected.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave you with that and take your response off the air. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, I think that Franklin Roosevelt became president during a time of great crisis for this nation. And certainly he did a few things wrong, but I think he did a lot of things very right, in my opinion. Of course, my father may disagree with that. But Rob in Pennsylvania, welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Rob.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Hey. It's Rob from opednews.com.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, you're bringing up what the Democrats should be doing at the annual convention, which you're talking about a platform, right?
Yeah, the points that I was going to go through are freedom from debt, for example. You know, we're instead of running up the debt, we need to be wiping it up. Freedom from fear of financial disaster as a result of health disasters. Freedom from cronyism, both corporate and with churches. And the truth about 9/11, freedom from terrorism.
Well, let's go back to freedom from fear. What was the freedom from fear of what?
Fear of financial disaster.
Why not just
crisis?
Freedom from fear? I mean, that's the
freedom
whole platform of the Republicans and of the right. Wouldn't you say?
Is what? Oh, is fear itself.
They're in the fear business. You know, it's the whole Bowling for Columbine story that Michael Moore tells. It's the fear business.
The only thing they have to fear is that people stop being fearful. Therefore, we have daily terror alerts.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to talk about, Tom, is what you and I have chatted about, which is the idea of a progressive counterpart to the right-wing think tanks. Because that's the way we need to go to come up with a good platform that the Democrats and the left and the progressives can all get together on.
Yeah,
we need,
and there are folks out there talking about that, and I know you've been talking about it on opednews.com, Rob. And if people want to, you know, send you a note, they can hit your website and send information. Rob, thanks for dropping by our radio home. I appreciate your comments. Linda is in Cupertino, California. Yeah, Cupertino, California. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Linda.
Hi, Tom. Yes, I agree with you. That was one of them. First things that came to my mind when we allowed the 2000 election to be grabbed away from us, I realized that the country was now in the hands of very elite unilateralists who only see things their way and no other way at all. And I believe that America has really been evolving as a multilateralist country where, you know, it is a benign power. And we don't have that anymore. Tom Friedman, in his latest article, tried to say that countries believe that we are a benign hegemon. Well, I don't believe that, just like I don't believe that there is a compassionate conservative.
Well, every empire always characterizes themselves as benign because it's human nature to always believe that whatever you're doing for the best of reasons.
Well, I believe that the Democrats could have stolen the spotlight away from George W. Bush after September 11 had they stood on the firm platform of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. If they could have done, and I think they should read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights at their upcoming convention.
Excellent suggestion, Linda. Thank you very much. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Bacteria and chemicals hide in clouds of dust that cross the oceans. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Every year, windstorms lift as much as 2 billion metric tons of dust into the atmosphere. As much as three-quarters of this dust comes from the region around the Sahara Desert in North Africa. Tropical trade winds carry it across the Atlantic Ocean, and with the dust come microscopic organisms and traces of pesticides. Dale Griffin is an environmental microbiologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. He studies this airborne dust to determine its origins and what's riding along with it. Griffin says the dust itself can cause health problems, but he says it carries other stuff that also puts people and ecosystems at risk.
Other types of substances that could cause potential problems are toxins such as herbicides and pesticides that may be transported along with these soils.
Powerful pesticides that include DDT are used in parts of Africa. Griffin says byproducts of these chemicals can compromise the immune systems of mammals. That means the use of these chemicals in Africa might have an impact on ecosystems clear across the Atlantic Ocean. Griffin says that's especially true when the chemicals are combined with airborne pathogens.
Where you maybe always had dust transport through time, bringing over, you know, a fraction of the total microbial population. What you didn't have before and why it may be a problem now is you are having toxic chemicals being transported along with it that are lowering immune response to these pathogens. So where they weren't a problem before, they're a problem now.
Research is continuing into the impact of this material on the health of people, coral reefs, and ecosystems on land and at sea. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Dave Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you're in our chat room today, I'd like to hear from you. We tried last week the chat room on the CompuServe platform, which is a little fancier and has nice tools for moderating conversations and things, but on the other hand, a few people weren't able to get into it. Today, we're using the chat room on the IE America Radio site, which is just pure straight chat. You go to tomhartman.com, click on the radio show link, and then when you get to that page, click on the chat link, and it'll take you to it. And I'd like some feedback. Which of those two do you think that we should stay with? Because we can use either one. My email is tom@tomhartman.com, thomhartmann.com. Our question this hour, should the Democratic Party's 2004 platform be a new declaration of independence? Independence from many things. For example, independence from debt. Washington shelved report of $44 trillion deficit. This from the Financial News of London last week. One of the most credible, conservative, straightforward, no-nonsense business publications in the world. They say in the midst of negotiating steep tax cuts, the U.S. government shelved a report that showed the United States faces future federal budget deficits of more than $44.2 trillion. Now, to put this in perspective, there are about 100 million wage earners in the United States. $1 trillion is $10,000 per wage earner. So we're talking about 44 times 10,000. Now, if I'm doing my math right, that's $440,000. Right now, we have a $7.2 trillion debt ceiling. We just raised it from 6 point, as I recall, 4 trillion, which means that we all went from being $64,000 in debt per wage earner in the United States. And if you don't think that debt's real, it is. And it will be paid. We are paying the interest in it. It is the second largest, behind military expenditures, is the second largest part of our federal budget. And we've gone from $64,000 each, that is our each wage earner in the United States' share of the federal debt, to $72,000 each. And the Congressional Budget Office is suggesting that as a result of these tax cuts, because debt compounds on debt, the wonders of compound interest. If you've ever had a credit card get out of control, you know what I'm talking about. The interest rates start adding up and adding up and adding up, and pretty soon you owe, you know, the debt just explodes. And this report, which was commissioned by Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, this is a Republican report from a Republican administration, says that not only is this tax cut wiping out the Social Security Trust Fund, not only is this tax cut making it more and more difficult for government to functionally do anything, but that it is going to saddle us with a $440,000 per wage earner debt in the United States. Each one of us is going to be roughly $500,000 in debt. That's the functional definition of bankruptcy, when the debt exceeds the net worth. The study, according to the same source, said that sharp tax increases, massive spending cuts, or both, are unavoidable if the U.S. is to meet benefit promises to future generations. Quote, it estimates that closing the gap would require the equivalent of an immediate and permanent 66% across-the-board income tax increase, end quote, according to the Times of London. That's because this tax cut of 300 and some odd billion, which is actually 800 billion because the sunset provisions ultimately probably will not be sunsetted, comes on top of the $1.65 trillion tax cut that was enacted in 2001 by the Bush administration. They are giving money to the very people who contribute to their campaigns. And where is that money coming from? They are borrowing it. And who's going to pay it back? You, me, and our children. And maybe even our children's children. Now, let's look seriously at what's going on here. The conservative agenda really is about cutting government spending. They're explicit about it. They're open about it. They're opposed to government spending. There should not be government spending. And in some regards, I think it's a good argument. Consider, taxes are confiscatory. Taxes, if I want to give money to a church, I have the choice of doing that or not doing that. If I want to give money to a homeless guy on the street, I have the choice of doing that or not doing that. If the government says that I have to pay a tax, they can kill me if I refuse to pay it. I mean, in the most literal sense, you refuse to pay your taxes, they show up. If you go to the door with a gun in your hand, they will shoot you. It has happened. And so, in the most extreme worldview on the right, they're suggesting because taxes are taken by threat of violence, the tax money should be very, very carefully spent. Now, that's a position with which I agree. But then the question becomes, what do you spend them on? The United States military has lost $1 trillion. That's $10,000 for me, $10,000 for you, $10,000 for every wage earner in America. And all of that money was taken from us in the form of taxes. $1 trillion. We spend on welfare to children and families in need $14 billion a year. $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. For some reason, and I would suggest it's because the big defense contractors are the ones who are propping up the Republican Party. For some reason, there's no concern about that $1 trillion that's missing in the defense budget because it went missing at the hands of military contractors like Halliburton, which has already paid a fine and pled guilty in court to ripping off our government in the area of military spending. So should the Democrats declare a new declaration of independence, independence from debt? Let's have appropriate government spending on issues that matter to us, and let's pay as we go. In the real world, we really should have taxes that equal our expenses. I saw that right-wing guy on CNN, Jack, what's his name, who's on their morning show, and he did some show on the weekend, and he starts out asking some congressman, he says, so tell me why I shouldn't be able to keep more of my money, thinking that he's scored a point, you know, quoting Sean Hannity's trivial, trite cliché. And I was amazed that this guy didn't have an answer to it. He was like, well, you know, the answer is very simple. The next time somebody says to you, why shouldn't I keep more of my taxes? The answer is, as long as our government, which is us, is in debt, it's not our money. We owe it to our government. And we are the ones who put that in place because we voted for these people. And if you want to change it, you need to show up at the ballot box. Or now the ballot machine, the ballot computer. Hopefully they can make them a little less hackable, but that's a whole other tangent. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Should we declare freedom from debt? Should that become part of the Democratic platform in 2004? What about freedom from fear of medical disaster? Howard Dean, a couple of days ago, this is a May 30th news report from the Manchester Union Leader, the newspaper in New Hampshire. Dean, first of all, he says, this president is running the federal government the same way Enron was run. Money is coming out of the Social Security Trust Fund in order to give tax cuts to people who don't need them, end quote. Howard Dean went on to say, somebody has to stand up and stop voting with the president on half of his stuff and tell people the way it is. He charged that the U.S. pharmaceutical industry uses its own set of special rules to keep drug costs high. And I tell you, I'm broadcasting here live from the People's Republic of Vermont, in the mountains of Vermont, and I've been watching Howard Dean for the last 8 years, as when he was our governor, right up until this last year, and he did this in Vermont. Every child in Vermont has health insurance. Back to the union leader, he said he promised to force them to abide by the same market rules everybody else has to abide by. It's a racket, he said, of the pharmaceutical industry, and we are going to change that. Now, interestingly, Bush just signed this $15 billion AIDS relief bill, which he took to the G8 meeting to wave around and have everybody acknowledge what a great guy he is. And already he has asked Congress to cut $1 billion of the first year's funding, to cut the first year's funding in half. And the aid bill, well, it turns out that it is, quote, a thinly disguised giveaway to drug companies. Countries all over Africa have been fighting to allow generic versions of anti-AIDS drugs to be manufactured in Africa, and the companies in the United States that hold the patents have said no, and we won't sell it to you at a discount either. These are very profitable drugs. We're talking about $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year to be on these drugs. And the manufacturing cost of many of these drugs is 5, 10, 15 cents a tablet. According to this new AIDS bill, this AIDS help to Africa, this is a quote from Celia Booker of Africa Action, a Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group, quote, any U.S. program that doesn't go through the Global AIDS Fund would have to buy U.S., in other words, anybody using this money from this $15 billion that Congress just allocated, President Bush's program, quote, would have to buy U.S. products from U.S. companies and have to pay inflated prices for drugs that will go to fewer people and save fewer lives, end quote. An amendment by Senator Edward Kennedy to guarantee that drugs of assured quality were purchased at the lowest possible price was rejected by the Republican majority. The GOP, by the way, received $20 million from the pharmaceutical industry in the 2002 election cycle, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. This is from an article by John Tarleton in Global Economics on CNET. On the eve of G8 summit, Bush delivers emergency AIDS relief to Republican allies. Another 20% of Bush's relief funding goes to prevention, that is, before marriage programs, even though these have been demonstrated to be ineffective. And an additional 10% goes to assist orphans through faith-based groups. Booker says, it's just giving an increased role to faith-based organizations that's inappropriate. It's not like African countries don't have their own AIDS programs. So it turns out that some of this money is going to the drug companies to buy drugs at retail. And some of this money is going to American evangelical organizations to establish programs in Africa. Which brings us back to this, if our tax dollars are taken from us at the point of a gun, do we really want them to be redistributed to churches? Or should we declare independence from that? Our question, should the Democratic Party's 2004 platform be a new declaration of independence? So back to Howard Dean, he says, Dean said that while the Republicans are part of the pharmaceutical conspiracy, Democrats refuse to oppose it out of fear that the industry will contribute funds heavily to their political foes. Dean said if he's elected, quote, we're not going to have any more of, I'm too afraid to take on the drug companies, end quote. Dean said his plan is modeled after a program he put in place in Vermont, and his logic is that because it passed in Vermont, it can pass in Congress. He said he would rescind the entire tax cut package to fund his health insurance plan and start to balance the budget and put money back into the Social Security Trust Fund where it belongs, end quote. Dean summarized by saying, quote, most politicians treat voters as children. You elect me, I'll serve all your problems. We have got to figure out a way to get people into a wellness mode, not an illness mode. In other words, getting people active and proactive rather than thinking of themselves as helpless victims. Our question this hour, what should the Democratic Party's 2004 platform be a new declaration of independence? I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that. Do you think it should be? Should we declare independence from fear of terrorism? Why is the Bush administration blocking the release of an 800-page congressional report about 9/11? What's up with this? Oh, this is an interesting one. I really don't know quite what to think of this. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because this is popping up all over the Internet. I haven't seen it in any mainstream media yet, although this is actually from Newsweek in their Polish edition. And George Bush yesterday was in Auschwitz. And, you know, is this a smear? Is this going to stick? Is this going to be an issue or not? And I quote, The Bush family profited from slave work by prisoners of the Auschwitz concentration camp. Prescott Sheldon Bush, grandfather of George Walker Bush, had financial dealings during World War II with the Nazis, amassing a family fortune as a banker. Prescott Bush was a shareholder of the company United Banking Corporation, working with industrialist Fritz Thyssen from the Nazio-Wico Silesian Consolidated Steel Corporation, where Auschwitz prisoners worked. The American press blew the whistle in 1942, and the U.S. government conducted an audit of USA's UBC books. The Roosevelt administration shut down UBC's operations under the Trading with the Enemy Act, signed in 1941. Is this little bit of George Bush's past going to come back to haunt him? Toby Rogers writes, according to classified documents from Dutch intelligence and U.S. government services, George W. Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, made considerable profits off Auschwitz slave labor. In fact, he himself is an heir to these profits from the Holocaust, which were placed in a blind trust in 1980 by his father, former President George Herbert Walker Bush. Should the Democrats declare independence from all of this stuff in 2004? We have Patrick in Kentucky. Patrick, I'm going to take your call right after this break. That music means that we're coming up against a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Announcing the Take Back America Conference, a progressive policy and action summit, June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, over 1,000 progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize Take Back America and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Shaking up American democracy here with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. You know, we've been through these cycles many times before. John Adams, probably the single largest event of his presidency, although you won't find mention of it in the Republican written biography of him that's on the bestseller list, but the biggest single event of his presidency was signing into law the Alien and Sedition Acts, which was like Patriot II. Incredible laws that Thomas Jefferson actually walked out of town, left town, and refused to be there when they were signed. The pendulum goes back and forth. We've seen loss of liberty and recovery of liberties, and I think that the pendulum is swinging back in the direction of the Democratic Party now, and we'll see in 2004. We'll see. Should the Democratic Party's 2004 platform be a new declaration of independence? I think so. Patrick in Kentucky, what are your thoughts on this? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Calling from Kentucky Kucinich headquarters.
Oh, great.
Yeah, enough of Howard Dean already. I don't know what the big coverage on him is on C-SPAN and everything while he's on the forefront. But, he supports NAFTA, jobs going south. Sounds like to me he's trying to Clintonite us once again.
He is imperfect.
Well, he's more than imperfect. I mean,
But tell us about Kucinich.
Well, if you're aware of the universal health care plan that Dennis is talking about, it's his own plan. Of course, it's not exactly modeling after Canada and Europe, which are so far ahead of us. It's not funny as far as health care goes. Dennis looks at it as a guaranteed right. which our forefathers looked at as, you know, ensuring the welfare of everyone.
Right. Now, Patrick, the folks on the right say, well, there's the, you know, it doesn't mention health care in the Constitution, and there wasn't health care insurance back then.
Well, you know, you know, people interpret it differently.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that it was a different time, that back then you couldn't be wiped out financially if you got sick. The medical technology was a very different thing. Patrick, I'm sorry, that music means we're running out of time here. We're up against the top of the hour. But, you know, tune in tomorrow, call in tomorrow. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks for joining us.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this